In this session, we will take a look at Class 1 National Insurance Contributions. NIC is a very important money-raising tool for the Treasury, and year on year, National Insurance Contributions bring in around 21 to 22% of total government revenue. Collection of NIC is administered by the National Insurance Contributions Office, or NICO, which is now part of Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. Other parts of the revenue assist NICO in the collection of national insurance contributions, particularly via the PAYE system. The purpose of national insurance contributions is to provide certain retirement benefits, such as the state pension, as well as to fund certain social security benefits, such as job seekers allowance and employment and support allowance. If the amount raised by NICO by way of national insurance contributions is insufficient to cover these benefits, any deficit is made up by a grant from the Treasury. At present, there are six classes of national insurance. The most prevalent and the most common are Class 1 national insurance contributions, which are paid by both employees and employers on earnings from employment. Class 1A contributions are paid by employers only, on benefits awarded to employees. Class 1B contributions are also paid by employers only, this time on what we call PSAs, or pay-as-you-earn settlement agreements. In this session, we shall specifically concentrate on Class 1 national insurance contributions. In the next session, we shall look at Class 1A and Class 1B. NIC under Class 2 and Class 4 is paid by self-employed persons on the profits from their trade. These will be covered in the business tax section of your course. Finally, Class 3 national insurance are voluntary contributions and are paid by taxpayers who wish to top up their contribution record in order to preserve their entitlement to state benefits. This gives us an overview of national insurance, and in this session we shall solely concentrate on Class 1 NIC. Class 1 national insurance contributions are broken down into primary contributions or secondary contributions. Primary contributions are paid by employees, while secondary contributions are paid by employers. Class 1 NICs are paid on earnings from the employment. So if an employee receives earnings, that employee will pay Class 1 primary contributions, while if an employer pays earnings to an employee, the employer makes a secondary Class 1 contribution. Both primary and secondary contributions are accounted for under the PAYE system and are paid over to the collector of taxes along with income tax on the 19th of each month. It is worth remembering that every time an employer makes a payment of earnings to an employee, that employer will also have to account for Class 1 secondary NICs, currently at a rate of 12.8%. This is a very substantial additional cost borne by employers, and the majority of NICs raised by the Treasury are collected from employers rather than employees. As Class 1 contributions are paid on earnings, it is very important that we establish what constitutes an earning for national insurance purposes. Any cash payment made by an employer to an employee is likely to be earnings for NIC purposes. This will include salaries and bonuses, but does not include the taxable element of termination payments taxed under Section 401 ITEPA 2003. It will not include the reimbursement of genuine business expenses. If an employer settles an employee's personal liability, this payment will also constitute earnings for Class 1 national insurance. For example, if an employee makes a visit to a shop and spends £100, which is not a business expense, and that £100 is subsequently paid by the employer has paid for an employee's personal bill. That payment will constitute earnings for NIC, but not PAYE. As such, the £100 will be charged to Class 1 national insurance. Of course, if the employee paid the bill and was subsequently reimbursed by the employer, the amount reimbursed would also be subject to Class 1 NIC and, in this case, PAYE. If an employer makes a non-cash payment to an employee, i.e. some form of payment in kind, and that payment in kind can be surrendered for cash, that payment will also be earnings for NIC purposes, just as it is for PAYE. Payments in the form of readily convertible assets are earnings for NIC purposes. You will recall from your PAYE session that a readily convertible asset is an asset that is traded on a recognised stock or commodities exchange, or an asset for which trading arrangements exist. The definition of a readily convertible asset for NIC is exactly the same as the definition we looked at for PAYE. The readily convertible assets legislation was put in relatively recently, as many employers had introduced imaginative NIC avoidance schemes to reduce their NIC liabilities. Vouchers are earnings for NIC regardless of whether they are cash or non-cash vouchers. Childcare vouchers given to employees are specifically excluded to the extent that they do not exceed £55 per week and are not earnings for Class 1 NIC. Class 1 NIC is charged on any excess amount over the £55 limit. Mileage payments are not earnings for Class 1 NIC purposes if they do not exceed 40p per mile, irrespective of the number of miles reimbursed. If an employer pays more than this, then the excess over 40p per mile will be subject to Class 1 NIC. So, if an employee travels 15,000 miles on company business in a year and is reimbursed 45p per mile, the excess of 5p per mile, i.e. £750, will be subject to Class 1 NIC. Remember that the excess reimbursement for tax purposes will not be subject to PAYE. It is important to mention here that the vast majority of common benefits will not be earnings for NIC purposes. So, for instance, if an employee is given use of a company car or has a low-interest loan, that benefit will be charged to income tax, but it will not then be charged to national insurance contributions in the hands of the employee. We will now move on and look at the calculation of Class 1 primary contributions payable by employees. Primary contributions are paid by employees on earnings in what we call an earnings period. Most UK employees have a monthly earnings period, i.e. we receive our salary, etc., on a monthly basis. Some employees, typically in manufacturing industries, still receive their earnings weekly. The current rates of national insurance are given in the tax tables included within this course, but it is worth us running through them. For employees who receive their remuneration weekly on earnings between £0 and £110 per week, Class 1 NIC is charged at a rate of 0%, so no national insurance is charged on the first £110 per week of an employee's earnings. This is called the earnings threshold. On earnings between £110 per week and £844 per week, the main rate of Class 1 NIC is 11%. The weekly limit of £844 is called the upper earnings limit. Employees also pay Class 1 NICs at an additional rate of 1% on earnings in excess of the upper earnings limit of £844 per week. The tables also give us the monthly and annual limits. So, for employees with a monthly earnings period for earnings up to £476 per month, NIC is charged at 0%. For earnings between £476 and £3,656 per month, the rate is 11%. For earnings in excess of £3,656 per month, the rate is 1%. It is worth reiterating that the rate of Class 1 primary contributions reduces to 1% once earnings exceed £43,875 per annum. An employee will start to pay Class 1 primary contributions with effect from his 16th birthday and will stop paying NIC at the date of retirement, which for a man is currently 65. For women born before the 6th of April 1950, the retirement age is 60. For women born after the 6th of April 1950, the retirement age is increasing to 65 between 2010 and 2020. Between these dates, the retirement age for a woman born on or after the 6th of April 1950 will depend on the exact date of birth. I mentioned on the previous page that NICs are calculated for earnings periods. So an employee who is paid monthly will have 12 earnings periods in any particular tax year. So to calculate his NIC for the year, we do 12 separate NIC calculations and add them together. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. Let us take an employee with a salary of £18,000 per annum, which is paid monthly. This employee has a monthly earnings period for NIC, and in a typical earnings period, the employee will earn £1,500 per month. The employee has use of a company car, giving rise to a benefit of £2,500. This benefit will not constitute earnings for NIC purposes, so this will not be charged to NIC. We are also told that the employee gets a cash bonus at Christmas of £5,000. This will be earnings for NIC. Let us calculate our employee's Class 1 primary NIC liability. The employee has a monthly earnings period, and for 11 months of the year, the employee's earnings will be the monthly salary of £1,500. So each month the NIC will be £1,500 minus the earnings threshold of £476 multiplied by 11%. This will happen for 11 months of the year, giving NIC for those 11 months of £1,239. Remember that at Christmas the employee got a bonus of £5,000, so his earnings in this month will be £6,500. This means that for 1 month of the year, the employee's earnings exceed the upper earnings threshold. The monthly upper earnings limit is £3,656, so NIC will be charged on earnings between £453 and this upper limit at the NIC rate of 11%. This gives NIC for that 1 month of £350. Earnings in excess of the upper earnings threshold, in this case £6,500 minus £3,656, are charged at 1% only. This gives NIC of £28. So the total Class 1 primary NIC payable for the year is £1,617. The effect of this is that some part of the £5,000 bonus paid in December will only be charged at 1%. The rules on the previous page do not apply to directors. All directors have what we call an annual earnings period. This means to calculate a director's NIC, we look at their earnings in the whole of the tax year, irrespective of whether the director was paid on a weekly or monthly basis. This is to prevent a company director from manipulating the NIC rules by paying himself in such a way as to minimise his NIC for the year. So let us take the figures in the previous example, but this time assume that the salary, the car benefit, and the Christmas bonus is accruing to a director rather than a normal employee. To calculate the director's national insurance contributions, we need to aggregate his earnings for the whole of the tax year. The annual earnings consist of the salary of £18,000 per annum and the Christmas bonus of £5,000. Giving us total annual earnings of £23,000. To work out the NIC, we simply deduct the earnings threshold of £5,715 per annum and multiply the excess by 11%. This gives the director a total NIC liability of £1,901. What you'll see here is that, unlike as with the employee in the previous example, none of the director's earnings move into the 1% band, and for this reason, it tends to be more expensive from an NIC perspective to be a director rather than a normal employee. Moving on to Class 1 secondary contributions. These are paid by employers on any earnings paid to employees. The current rate of Class 1 secondary contributions is 0% on earnings up to the earnings threshold and 12.8% on the excess. You will notice that the weekly, monthly and annual earnings threshold are the same for employers as they are for employees. You will also note two things here. The first is that the rate of NIC is higher for employers than for employees, i.e. 12.8% as opposed to 11%. The second thing to note is that there is no 1% rate for employers' contributions. So, for every £1 of earnings paid to an employee above the earnings threshold, the employer will have to pay 12.8 pence in national insurance contributions. As we have mentioned before, this is a substantial cost for employers to have to bear and effectively adds another 12.8% to their total wages bill. It also means that the calculation of secondary contributions is relatively straightforward. In the case of an employee or director earning £23,000 per year, the secondary liability to be paid by the employer is simply the earnings minus the earnings threshold of £5,715 multiplied by 12.8%, which here gives us £2,212. Remember that this is the employer's liability, not the employee's. One final point to note here is that employer's secondary contributions begin with effect from the employee's 16th birthday, but there is no upper age limit. So if a salary is paid to an employee who is, let us say, 68 years old, the employee will have no Class 1 primary liability, but the employer will still have to pay secondary contributions. Class 1 secondary NIC contributions paid by the employer in respect of an employee, along with Class 1A and 1B contributions, are deductible by the employer in arriving at taxable profits. On the 22nd of June 2010, the government announced its intention to introduce a regional Class 1 NIC holiday for new businesses. It is anticipated that the scheme will start in September 2010, but any new business set up from the 22nd of June, which meets the necessary conditions, will be able to take advantage of the relief. At the time of writing, full details of the operation of the scheme have not been published. The scheme will apply to new businesses set up in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. It will apply to businesses set up in England apart from London, the South East and the East. The aim is to help new businesses in areas of the UK that most require assistance. The scheme will end after 3 years. Under the scheme, an employer will not be required to pay secondary Class 1 NIC for the first 52 weeks of an employee's employment, where the employee is taken on by the employer in the first year of business. The relief applies in respect of the first 10 employees hired, but is capped at a maximum of £5,000 per employee. Once the £5,000 limit has been reached for an employee, secondary Class 1 NICs will have to be paid as normal. Where a new business commences from the 22nd of June 2010, but prior to the actual introduction of the scheme, secondary Class 1 NIC will continue to be paid as normal. However, once the scheme starts, the employer will receive full relief. The relief will not be available in respect of employees engaged via personal or managed service companies. Remember that primary Class 1 NICs payable by the employee will continue to be paid in full as normal. Finally in this session, let us spend a couple of minutes talking about the state second pension. When we calculated the employee's Class 1 NIC liability in the previous examples, we did so on the assumption that the employee had not contracted out of the state second pension. The state second pension provides individuals with an additional state pension. The amount of the pension depends on the earnings of the employee, but is more generous for the low paid. It is possible for an employee to contract out of the state second pension. And if he does so, what he is saying to the government is that he will make his own pension arrangements. There are certain advantages from an NIC point of view of contracting out. If an employee is contracted out of the state second pension and is a member of an occupational pension scheme with his employer, that employee will get a 1.6% rebate on his national insurance contributions. The employee will pay Class 1 NIC at a reduced rate of 9.4% on earnings between the earnings threshold and the upper accruals point. Earnings between the upper accruals point and the upper earnings limit will remain liable to NIC at 11%. Earnings in excess of the upper earnings limit are subject to NIC at the 1% rate. In addition, a rebate of 16% is given on earnings between the lower earnings limit and the earnings threshold. If an employee contracts out and has a personal pension, the employee will continue to pay NIC at the normal rate of 11%, but the National Insurance Contributions Office will then take the rebated amount of 1.6% and redirect it into the employee's personal pension scheme. The employer will also continue to pay NIC at the normal rate, of which part will be paid into the employee's pension scheme. It is also worth mentioning here that where an employer operates an occupational pension scheme, which is contracted out of the state second pension, employer's secondary contributions between the earnings threshold and the upper earnings accrual point will be at a lower rate. There will also be a rebate on earnings between the lower earnings limit and earnings threshold. Remember that for examination purposes, all the limits and rates are clearly set out in the tax tables.